The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 102, Thursday, 5th of Dixon, and this week on the show, Ryan Socha will be joining me to talk about codecs, also known as DVD decoders or just decoders. And this is the mysterious software that enables Windows and Windows Media Center to be able to play different formats of media content, such as DVDs, TV files, DivX, those kind of things. Brian will be explaining what they are, how they work, and some of the common issues around them. If you've ever had problems getting a certain type of file to play on Windows Media Center, then you've come across a codec issue, and Brian's got some good advice. I've got email into the show, some news items, and forum poster of the week. First to an email from Alex in Cambridge, UK. Alex says, "Hi guys, just a quick question to the experts. I've been looking ages for a plugin for Media Center that allows to customize the view of music on My Music. In detail, with more than 30,000 songs, it would be great to customize the very rigid views of My Music, artists, genre, albums. For example, I'd like to see genre, artists, which is the one that I use most. You can do it on JRiver Media Center, but the interface is terrible. Just wondered if you'd come across something like this. Also, since you have a thread on comments on My Music in Media Center, this may be passed on to Microsoft for consideration. Thanks for this great site." Thanks for the email, Alex. I'm not aware of a plugin that does that arrangement, and to be honest, it's something that people have mentioned before about being able to customize the views. You're looking at XP Media Center from your email, and I think you'll find that the Vista edition of Media Center has a lot more options on your views, but to be able to customize your own would be great. There's nothing to stop a developer doing that and coming up a way of doing that, but it's not something I've seen. So if anybody's got any suggestions, please let me know. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, or you can post on the forums, or you can comment on the show blog. But I would be interested to hear if anybody else has come across a solution for that, or any developers willing to give that a go. I have time for some items from around the web. Last week, Showtime launched on Media Center for US users, and Mission Remote posted a nice review of its features. I wish there was more content like this for non-US Media Center users. Certainly it looks, from the screenshots, a nice user interface, and essentially what it is a video download service, video on demand service, for movies, TV programs, that kind of thing. And I really just wish that we had something like that in the UK that I could try out. It's written in Media Center market language, which means you get the great Media Center, Vista Media Center experience, and it looks like a nice integral part of Media Center. So check out the link in the show notes and to have a look at that review. If you're into home automation and you didn't get a chance to visit the Smart Home show in Birmingham, UK last week, check out these videos from automatedhome.com. They've got some good videos of the highlights of the show, and there's one nice video there which is a short tour of the sites of the show, and you can see that on YouTube. And if you recognize the music, it's because in the sites video, the music is one of my tracks, so it was nice to hear that on there. So check out that. It's a good show. I went last year, compared to, you know, going to something like CES, it's small, but unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to go this year, so check out those videos. Doug Knox, a fellow Media Center MVP, has a nice utility we're increasing the TV pause buffer from 30 minutes up to 2 hours. And they've got a little utility which you can download. More detail on Doug's site on how that works. But if you wanted to increase that, you've come across that as an issue, it's a really simple little tool to help you do that. So link for that in the show notes. Now, mentioned on the show plenty of time, big screen headlines and big screen blog. Well, Niall Ginsborough has been awarded a Microsoft MVP, Most Valued Professional, for his work within Media Center. For his work with Media Center, and it's a well-deserved award. Niall does a lot to help out developers, and has got a good, a really good Media Center blog. So definitely well deserved, and like I've mentioned many times before, Big Screen Headlines is one of my favourite applications for Vista Media Center. Now, I have a new gadget that I'm playing around with at the moment. Last week I managed to get hold of a Samsung Q1 Ultra Mobile PC. And I've been wanting one of these for a while since I first saw them come out, and while I was at CES in January, I saw some of the new generation of Ultra Mobiles coming out. The Samsung Q1 is one of the first generation machines, and it came with Windows XP Tablet Edition, but I wanted to give Vista a go on it, so I formatted it and installed Windows Vista Home Premium, which, as well as having the tablet bits in there, of course, it's got Media Center. So I've actually been using this, surprising actually how much I've been able to do on this. I'm actually recording this podcast intro now on the Samsung Q1 with my M-Audio interface. I normally use the HP TC11 tablet PC to do this, and instead I've got the little tiny Ultra Mobile with my audio interface. So if I had this at CES, it would have made my backpack a lot lighter for doing the interviews. But of course, one of the nice things of it is it's got Media Center on it, with being Windows Vista Home Premium, and I've got TV shows streaming over my network, my wireless network, and it's playing surprisingly well actually. It's I'm running over 802.11g network, so it's not ideal for video streaming, but it definitely works, and I've been enjoying watching Media Center content on the little machine, and it's great for carrying it around and getting all your content on there. In fact, I prefer the Media Center interface over the Origami Experience software that Microsoft provide, which is designed for the UMPCs. But the Media Center interface on Vista works great with the touchscreen. I posted a couple of pictures of the UMPC over on the Media Center setup gallery on the digitallifestyle.com, and I'd like to get some more pictures on there. So if you wanted to show off your Media Center setup, drop me a line, Ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and we'll sort out getting your pictures on there. And there's really some fantastic Media Center setups out there, so I'd like to show those. Don't forget to send in your questions to Microsoft's Charlie Owen via AskCharlie@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'm going to be having a new feature on the show where you can ask Charlie a question, and he'll do an audio reply, and we'll include that in the show. So send your questions in. I'm not guaranteeing you'll get them all answered, but we'll do the best and we'll play them on the show. I mentioned about forum poster of the week. This one goes to Jamie MC01. Jamie wins a copy of MC Phone and Pamela, the digital assistant for Skype. This is run every week. I just give away the bundle to a random forum poster. So if you want to be in with a chance of that, get posted on the digitallifestyle.com forums. It's a community that's growing quite nicely, so I encourage you to go and check out those and have a look at there. There's a Ask the Expert forum, there's developer forums. In fact, I want to try and get a bit more content in there for the developers, so have a look at that. And we've got Windows Media Center tips and home server forums and a lounge and other stuff anyway. So go and have a look at that. Right, after this message from One Voice, I'll be back with Brian.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Brian, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much.
And today we're going to be talking decoders, so what decoders are and why you need them and some of the common issues that you get with those. So just before we delve into those, you're a Media Center MVP, so you're a most valued professional and you help a lot of people out with Media Center. So what's your background in Media Center, in case anybody's not heard the other stuff we've done?
Well, pretty much I'm basically just an end user, like everyone else. Just happen to be a little more outgoing on the help. I'm also a moderator for the Green Button. And pretty soon I'm coming out with a video series that's more of a kind of the research done for you, look at what's available for Media Center.
Right, so what kind of things are you looking at to cover on that?
Trying to be as complete as possible. I mean, there's a lot of little companies who are doing Media Center products you may not even know about. Some of them are very niche market, simple stuff like sound equipment that doesn't have all the extra receiver stuff and just in general, like HDPC cases, which power supply is better, how do you get it more quiet, what's the best one to use in which room, get them to talk to each other. So just an overall everything you need to know pretty much about Media Center, and that'll be an ongoing project. It won't be like one set of videos and we're done.
Yeah, I guess it's something that's changing all the time and that new stuff comes out all the time.
Exactly.
Excellent, that sounds really good. I look forward to that. So, looking at decoders, the first question is, what is a decoder, and why do you need them?
Well, in very simple terms, it's a very simple program which helps a player decode a type of video or audio format. If you want to get a little more technical, it's a direct show filter on Windows. Mac's a little bit different, but it's a little bit past what we're talking about here today. So, the easiest way to think of it, it's a program that'll help you play the video or music file or streaming version of it on your Media Center or just your PC in general.
Okay, so looking at XP, which and this is slightly different because I know it comes with decoders, but looking at XP, if you haven't got a decoder in there and you try and play a DVD, what are you going to see?
Most likely you'll get an error that the decoder is not functioning or missing, and you should reinstall or restart Windows and try again.
So, most OEM machines and your machines from Dell and HP will come pre-installed with a decoder, but I guess there's a lot of people doing their own builds and don't have decoders, so they may have come across that, have seen that error message.
Right, and that's pretty common first time you're trying the old version of Media Center, because there was no built-in decoder. And specifically, you're looking for an MPEG-2 decoder, which is the most common television format over the world, as well as the same format that's used in DVDs.
So I mean, the way that most people come across decoders is, and I think the sort of branded is DVD decoders, aren't they? But if you've got XP Media Center and you've got a TV file you want to watch, am I right in saying you need a decoder on that? Even though it's classed as a DVD decoder, you still need to have that decoder installed.
Right, because they're technically the same format.
Right.
It's just one's a DVD, the other one you recorded.
Yeah. So when we're talking decoders, we're talking about the same thing, DVD, TV, whatever. It's all an MPEG-2 decoder.
As far as TV and DVDs go, now if you look at, a Windows Media file, that's actually a different decoder. It just happens to be built in because it's also a Microsoft product now. So it depends. And then, Flash, if you go on a site like YouTube, they have a different program. They use, I believe they're currently using VP6, which is one of the versions of Flash Video, and you would also need that. Now, most people just install Flash Player to get it, but there are alternatives and professional versions of that. So if you did want to spend a little bit more money, you could bring up the quality of your Flash Video.
Right. So a decoder really is key to getting audio and video onto the machine. It's the key to understanding the format that you're playing back and converting that so that you can actually see.
Right. It allows the player, which in most of our cases will be Windows Media Center, to actually use the file that you have to play.
Right. So you're not restricted to the decoder's own playback utility. So if you get WinDVD, you don't have to use WinDVD's player to consume that content. You could use Windows Media Center or Windows Media Player, and it's using that codec in the background.
Correct. And actually, you don't actually have to buy the full WinDVD. Pretty much every company that makes like an MPEG-2 or DVD player has a cheaper, just the decoder version. It may take a little bit of hunting on their website to find it. It was very common back when, before Media Center, because Microsoft had a flat rate. You can only charge this for the MPEG-2 decoder. But it is an alternative. Most people will probably find buying the whole package being a little bit better, because each decoder also has its own settings. And a lot of times, it's very hard to do it with just the decoder. But with the player, you have the full interface, and you can see it while you're changing the settings, and you can fine-tune it for your specific setup.
Right. So if you get the full version, you've got more access to the sort of the features that the basic decoder hides, that if you're using just the Media Center.
Correct. And a lot of times, you have to be fairly technical to actually get to those settings.
Right.
Or it's a lot of trial and error with a ton of reboots, and you can spend the lifetime of your computer trying to get them just right.
Yeah. And I suppose the next question that will crop up in people's mind that's perhaps new to this is, why don't these decoders, why aren't they built in? You've got XP, why do you have to pay for some additional software?
Well, the big one is licensing. I mean, there are parts of it, depending on the audio format that it can handle, and some other parts that someone does have to be paid for. A lot of times it can be lengthy to work up a contract to be able to use those. So while Microsoft may have wanted to do it 5 years ago, it may have taken them 5 years to actually get to the point where they can now include it with Vista.
And we should point out as well that if you've got a Vista, you don't need an additional codec because there's already one built into
Vista. Yeah, and Vista, they introduced their own MPEG-2 decoder, which is the minimum you're going to need for Media Center.
And I think we'll come back to Vista later. We'll look at the XP version at the moment. So you've got your new machine. You want to play TV or DVDs. What are your options for decoders?
The main popular three are WinDVD, you have PowerDVD, and then you have NVIDIA's Pure Video Decoder. And those are pretty much the three main ones. They're the most popular. Now, you can also try some freeware ones, maybe the one built in FFD Show. There's a couple other open source projects. The big difference is going to become which audio formats they can do. So if you're a very high-end DVD, large DVD collection user, you're probably going to find the free ones are not going to work well, because you're not going to be able to decode the higher-end audio formats.
Right.
And that's just because that someone has to pay someone in order to include that, and that's something usually an open-source project can't do.
So let's look at the three paid ones first, WinDVD, PowerDVD, and the NVIDIA offering. Now, from reading the forums and blog posts and everything else, there doesn't really seem to be a definitive answer of which is the best. How would you judge which of these three you should pick if you're going to be choosing one?
Video and audio quality is a very personal, subjective item. They all offer trials, and it's going to be that item that you're going to want to just try them. Some of them may work better with your hardware, than others. Others are going to look better to you. And some of them may have the options you want to change, like... If you are a little higher end, like, you know, what type of deinterlace filter you want to run, and then, you know, what kind of support it has for any hardware acceleration you may have in your computer, whether it be a separate decoding board or what's built into the newer video cards now.
Right. So the advice with these three really is then for you to try the trial versions and see which looks the best on your system.
Correct. And it's very dependent on your system. I mean, no one has the exact same parts, unless you're buying from the same OEM. But then, not everyone's in the same area of the world. So what works for New York may not work for Boston or the UK. There might be very subtle differences in how some of the broadcasters are actually sending out their data, where some may work better than others. Now, usually they all get up to the same point, but it just depends. I mean, it's something you're going to have to try, see what works best for you, and works reliable on your hardware.
And in your experience with these, which ones have you used personally that you think work best for you?
I actually use all three of them. My laptop runs PowerDVD. My old media center before I upgraded to Vista, I ran NVIDIA's product. And WinDVD, I do have a copy of, and I experiment with time to time. They're all about the same, but that's a good example. My laptop doesn't really like the NVIDIA decoder.
Yeah.
And my media center really loved it. So to get the best quality across several machines, I actually had to use all of them.
So the trial versions are really important then to see which one works for your combination the best.
Right, and there's some stuff to keep in mind with the trial versions also. Like if you go through the video driver release notes for whatever version of video drivers you're putting in, some of them may warn you of some weird problems that they have with the trial. So if you're running into an issue with the trial, make sure it's not because it's the trial and it's having some difficulty with your video card.
Right, I see. So this, if you're getting issues like that, that's worth checking, looking at some of your release notes compared to your version of the DVD decoder.
Correct.
And is there any issues around having multiple ones of these installed? So could I install WinDVD and PowerDV on an XP machine without any issues?
Sometimes. It's, again, one of those things that you may just luck out. Generally, I don't like to put in two of the same thing. So if I'm trying out, let's say, NVIDIA's decoder, I'll uninstall that before I do the next trial. Now, there is a selecting tool for both XP, and there's a newer version for Vista, which can allow you to change which decoder you're trying to use. And I have to stress that. It's definitely trying to use. Some decoders, especially the freeware open source ones, are very aggressive, and even if you tell it to use a specific decoder, something else might be forcing itself to be the decoder. So that tool is more of a guideline that kind of help you figure out what you have installed and why your TV or your DVDs might be messing up. But the best way to know that you're exactly using that decoder is to uninstall the other ones.
Right, I see. So what's the tool then you can use to select the preferred decoder?
Well, you have the Windows XP decoder utility, which is a freeware product put out by Microsoft, which I'm sure you'll put a link up on your show notes.
Yep, definitely.
And I always forget what the Vista one is, so I have to apologize now. It's pretty much the same tool. It's just been updated for Vista because it has a couple more options in it now. And there's a slight change in how decoders work in Vista.
Right. I'll include a link for that in the show notes as well. But your advice really is if you trial these as an experiment to see which one works best for you is to uninstall the previous version, you know, the previous thing you were trialing and go through them that way and then pick the one that works for you and probably stick with that then.
Right, and then, you know, go out and purchase the full version, and depending on how your audio is set up, you may need to buy the more expensive package. Generally, if you're using a receiver, a more recent receiver, within the last couple of years, you could probably get away with the cheap version. If you're doing more analog video, like maybe connecting it to your TV, you're probably going to have to spend a little bit more money to get the extra audio formats for the DVD.
Talk about the different audio formats that these decoders support. What kind of things are you talking about? What are the formats that it supports?
Well, I guess a good example is to actually use the Pure Video Decoder. The cheapest version, which is only $20 US, supports a simple two-channel stereo output. Which every DVD will have the simple TV output, especially for older DVD players that might be standalone. Now, if you move up a little bit more, like spend another $10, you can support formats like the Dolby Pro Logic, the Dolby Digital 5.1, and even some a slight version of the Dolby Digital, which is better for headphones. And then if you spend even a little more money, they add up the DTS. Surround sound format, which got rather popular probably about a year ago with DVDs. So it depends on how high-end and what your audio equipment. Now, remember, that's what the decoder can take care of. Now, if you use a receiver and you're using something like SPDIF output or like optical coax to a receiver, that's something your receiver has to be able to do because the decoder doesn't actually touch the audio. It just sends it out the output. In the case of using your analog out on your computer or your sound card, the decoder is going to have to be able to handle those formats. And those are the common ones that are found on regular DVDs.
Right. I mean, so if you've got your PC connected via an optical output into a receiver, if your receiver supports DTS, do you need to make sure that the decoder supports DTS, or do you only need to worry about that if you're decoding it on the Media Center box and then outputting it through the analog output?
Well, if you're using a receiver with a digital output, so either SPDIF with optical or coax, no, you don't have to worry about it in the decoder,
right?
Because everything is sent to your sound equipment to process. Now, if you're using an analog output to that receiver, maybe your receiver's older, doesn't have a digital in, then you do need to be concerned about that. And that's also if you don't want to do it. I mean, you may find that you don't have a surround system in your home and you don't plan on getting one. In that case, you probably don't need to be able to decode it because, you know, the DVD will have a two-channel pre-mixed stereo output that'll probably work just fine.
So really, it's about looking at the site, looking at what the various options are and picking the one that works for your requirements. There isn't sort of a best answer, it's just what works for you.
Correct.
And then, of course, you mentioned the free ones like FFD Show, that supports the basic video and audio functions, and it's lacking in things like the DTS support.
Well, it depends. Again, if you're using a digital output, it'll just pass the audio out. It doesn't have to process it. And then in some cases, some of them do support some of the methods. The newer stuff, maybe not. The older stuff, and then there's also a few different versions of FFD Show. I mean, it is an open source project, and someone gets the idea, well, I could do it better, so they kind of do a fork off, and then now there's, whose FFD Show are you running? So, it's rather complicated, as you can tell. Generally, I probably assume if you're using a freeware product, you're probably going to need a receiver to get the higher end audio formats, especially the surround sounds.
Yeah, and really, if you want simplicity, if you're a user that's, you know, you're not interested in going through hundreds of different configs and different settings, and you just want a nice, you know, just want it to work, then probably one of the lower cost paid versions is the way to go.
Right, and then a lot of times, I mean, you may just want to just run the trials. The trials do run for a while. You can go between all three companies and really, really get a feel for each one. So if it really doesn't matter to you what it looks like, how it sounds, you'd probably be fine with just the trials.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to have to buy one, but at that time, you'll know which one works best for you. Because that's something that you probably can tell over a couple days and a couple weeks to a month. You'll get a general idea of how you normally interact with Media Center, and get a general idea of, do I really want the surround sound? Maybe you haven't upgraded your house yet. And you'll have a feel for which one works best for you.
Yeah. And then on that, I was looking at XP. What kind of common sort of posts have you seen in, say, like the Green Button forums of people having problems with decoders? First question is, do they realize their decoder issues? Do they manifest themselves in ways that you wouldn't expect them to be or a user wouldn't expect it to be a decoder type issue?
Probably the biggest and most common one is a lot of people go online and download something called a codec pack. Now, a codec is actually the official name for a decoder, where a codec generally you can change something into that format and take it out of. Decoders become common because some formats, it's just so expensive to include the encoding part that they don't. And that's where the de facto came. But these codec packs, what's happening is just random people around the internet are taking all the codecs they can find and they're making one installer for it. Now, that sounds great. You'll never have to go out and get everything. But generally, it is pirated software. It's including stuff that someone should have paid for or you should have paid for. And generally, that has multiples for the same types. So you end up getting different decoders and filters and variety of other things fighting with each other, and generally it just doesn't work right. And it's not even that playback doesn't work right. I mean, Media Center in general just doesn't work right.
Well, what are the sort of typical issues that you would see then? Sort of just you try and play something and it won't open or that kind of thing?
Common one would be like a false detection of protected TV.
Right.
Where Media Center thinks it's protected and it's not allowed to show you the program or record it, but it was just the software acting up. And that's nothing to do with Media Center. That has to do with that specific decoder or variety of decoders fighting with each other.
Right. See, so when you're downloading these decoder packs, then you've got to be careful that you know what you're installing, or you the source that you're getting from you is reliable enough to know what you're putting on your machine, because you could really mess with your machine if you start to get sort of random decoder packs from, you know, just from anywhere on the internet.
Right. Well, the best thing you can do is if anyone's calling it a codec pack, pretty much avoid it. Something like FFD Show, which is an open source community single program package, it's a little different than a coder pack. This is actually a single program that just happens to do a whole bunch of formats. Codec pack is someone just randomly creating an installer for what they think everyone needs to play.
Right, I see. So like you said, stick with the reputable stuff and the right tool for the job, and you should be better off.
I was going to say, if you're not sure, you know, just hop on to either Digital Lifestyle, post a quick message asking, or even the green button. Someone will come back and tell you that you're going to have issues or
and
not.
That's a great thing about the Media Center community, and part of one of the reasons why I got involved in from day one, really, isn't it? These are the kind of issues pop up, and you can post on websites like the Green Button and the Digital Lifestyle, and people will generally help you out and sort of give you some good advice.
Generally.
So what other type of issues could you see with sort of problems with decoders?
Generally, it's just the inability to play it back. You might actually lose recordings because it'll false detect them. It can have an effect on converting a TV show to a DVD. You know, just the very basics. Now, if you have too much and they're fighting, you can actually see a computer slow down. You might crash more often than you do, or you should be. Computer locking up, blue screens. So, I mean, it is software that's going to be run quite often with Media Center, and it can lead to a lot of instabilities that you may think is actually Media Center itself, but meanwhile, it may have been your choice of decoder. And that's one of the reasons why you kind of have to try all the trials, because some of them even the legit ones may crash your specific machine, but the other ones may not.
Yeah, I see what you mean. You mentioned about DVD burning there. Now, I know this is one of the issues that I see on the forums and news groups, and that's quite often causes problems. So are you saying that decoders could affect, could be a cause of burning DVD, when you have problems with burning DVDs, and the decoders could actually be a cause of that problem?
Well, in the case of making a DVD, there's also an encoder being involved here. What's happening is generally, depending on your tuner or the source of your TV, like if it's a digital antenna versus an analog source, or the length of the program, the file has to be reconverted to fit on the DVD. Now, to do that, it has to read it through the decoder and then write it back out through the encoder. So if either of those are acting up, it can lead to problems like false detection of protected TV. There may be a glitch somewhere in the video because, maybe it started raining and a tree fell down in front of your antenna if you're a digital source. For your television, any one of those little things can create a hiccup that will actually cause a problem for the process of making a DVD.
Right, and I think one of the issues I seem to remember on certainly on the XP machine was where it would sort of get about as far as 3 or 4%, and then seem to sit there for a long time, and that could actually be caused by having a few different decoders and perhaps one conflicting with the other.
Right, and generally if it fails fast, it's probably a conflict where it's expecting the audio in one format and it's finding it in another, and like you said, decoders fighting with each other.
Mm. And you mentioned about the decoder tool to kind of set your preferred decoder, although it's not hard and fast. Is there any other tool to see which actual decoders are installed on your system and perhaps are in use at any one time, or what's actually going on in the background? Or is it a case of really using that tool and just hoping that the best format will get through?
Well, there are tools out there, a lot of freeware ones. For the average person, they're going to be too technical. I mean, they'll show you a list of all the filters, and you really have to know what you're looking at to tell whether... is it a decoder? Is it a filter? Is it something to help with a file format? generally, I don't really recommend going through those because, again, the program itself can kind of sit in the background and just aggressively make it the one that runs. So you kind of have to go into every single one that you have installed to figure it out. And a good example of that is like AC3 filter, which is just a filter to help keep the audio format that would be commonly found on the DVD in that format. If you set that up wrong, now if you set it up default, I mean, it's a good program. A lot of people run that because they want to keep the audio format unmodified. And if you look in that, it's very easy to have that become aggressive, and then anything that plays, that program just appears and handles it. Now, by appears, I don't mean you'll see it on the screen, but as far as Windows, like it'll set up to start decoding the audio, and then AC3 filter will force itself in as the program, and it may not be able to handle the format you're looking for. So it's be very careful. Don't install anything you don't need, and learn about it before you do jump in. I mean, if you're just starting out with Media Center, you're not overly technical on the very inner workings of how video and audio work, it's probably better to stay away from it and read up more on your own
it's
time.
It's very tempting, is it, when you first get to Media Center, is you get it up and running, and you think, great, what can I install now? What free applications can I get downloaded to give it every capability? But it's not always the best idea to do that. It's just to get what you need for it to run and live with that and let that be stable, and then have a look at adding the features later.
Well, yeah, if you're doing it yourself, you're going to have some quirks of, like, what driver version, am I on the right BIOS? And there's a lot more stuff to do than if you bought your own Media Center PC. But, I mean, Media Center is heavily dependent on audio and video formats, and this is one area to be extra cautious with.
Yeah, because at the end, I suppose, like you said, at the end of the day, it's fundamental to the Media Center experience, where everybody wants to watch videos or TV or listen to music and DVDs on there, so you really want to make sure you've got that one right and stable.
Correct.
And then, moving on, we mentioned earlier about Vista and having a decoder in. So what's the situation that you don't need to buy an extra DVD decoder to play DVDs and recorded to play DVDs and TV on a Vista machine?
Right. If you have a version of Vista, actually, I believe all versions of Vista now include the MPEG-2 decoder built in. Microsoft made their own, finally got through all the licensing issues, and are able to finally offer that one critical piece of Media Center that was never originally included on your system. So, generally, if you're going with Vista, start with Vista, see if it works fine. Now, Vista being fairly new, not all of the DVD decoders are actually meant for Vista. So, for instance, Power DVD, only within like the last couple weeks, actually released a Vista version of their MPEG-2 decoder.
Right.
WinDVD, I don't believe, is updated yet. Haven't heard anything about NVIDIA's product. And then the same thing. If you're on 64-bit versus 32-bit Vista, chances are the 64-bit may not have as many decoder options. So if you're a person that deals with a lot of different media and stuff, and you're on 64-bit, it's going to be a little harder to find what you're looking for, if it even exists. And that's just because of the changes recently introduced in Vista and everyone trying to catch
and
up.
The DVD decoder in Vista, is it a basic implementation? Is it good enough to watch DVDs and TVs on full time? And do you really need to invest in the third party?
I personally found it to be to work quite fine. I haven't even tried another one in Vista yet. So I mean it's still personal preference. And then also going back to like the hardware decoding that might be built into your video card, that handles some of the decoding and processing, and really both ATI and NVIDIA are very quickly trying to get all of their cards up to speed with drivers, and you may find that it may look a little washed out, and then 2 days later you'll put a new video driver in and it'll be the best thing you've ever seen. So it's really hard to say right now how great a quality it is, because the video drivers actually do have an impact
right
on that.
I mean, from a personal experience, I've had no issues with it at all, and I really do like the fact that it works out the box. I did a clean install of my Media Center machine, and you know, within an hour or so, it was all up and running, and there was no, you know, searching around for the DVD decoder discs and that kind of stuff, and downloading codecs, and it just worked out of the box. So I, from my point of view, I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah, I found the same thing. And one big advantage is being an actual Microsoft product, it listens to your control panel speaker settings. So when you set yourself up for your audio setup, there was no extra steps to set up the MPEG-2 decoder to follow that. So it gives kind of a universal through the control panel sound setup.
Right. So that was things like when you set up your number of speakers and those kind of things.
Well, yeah. Like, let's say, do you have 5x1, 7x1? Are you optical out? Are you analog out? Are you using headphones? And then even very quick fixes, like you might have a sound card that detects you plugged something into one of the audio ports. You tell your headphones, and that shift will instantly go through the MPEG-2 decoder. So you don't have to keep going in and changing settings, depending on how you're using your media center that day.
Right. So it's all integrated. Now, so really, there aren't any disadvantages in using the Microsoft One, certainly at the moment, as it's all fairly new.
I can't see any at the moment. Although the one thing to look out for, if you are trying other decoders, is make sure they're ready for Vista. One common sign that they're not is actually that it'll warn you that the TV show is protected and you can't see it. That's actually not a DRM problem, but an actual decoder that's not meant for Vista.
Right. So it will let you install, everything will seem fine, but you come to watch something and it'll say it's got a DRM issue, and it turns out it's not. It's just that you're using an XP version of a decoder.
Right, and that's just because some of the requirements Media Center and Vista need in order to safely protect broadcasters' rights is not fully there in the Vista. In Vista, where in XP, that decoder was written perfectly for it. Vista, it's missing a piece, and now that's causing what appears to be false positives that it's protected and that you
right.
shouldn't be watching it.
So is this an issue you've seen crop up with the various forums that every now and again this is what's happening and it's sort of Vista gets the blame, but it turns out to be a decoder issue?
Yeah, it seems to be most common on people that are upgrading because with the upgrade, your old decoder is coming over with you. Now,
right.
By default, it's not going to use that decoder. So if you go into the Vista decoder utility and change it around, it was installed previously, so it's in Vista, but it's not designed for Vista. And that goes with any time you change your operating system or a major program update. You have to make sure all the pieces you want to use are compatible. And if not, you know, when is a patch coming out or the upgrade? And it's just part of that slight growing pains for a major change like a new operating system.
And is that something that Upgrade Advisor picks up on? Although probably not, because from what you're saying is it defaults to using the Microsoft One anyway, so it's only if you change it back that it's going to be an issue.
Yeah, it's. I don't believe Upgrade Advisor will catch that one, because with the default one, it doesn't have to say your decoder is not compatible. And then depending, like on the 64-bit, like depending on where you're using, what player you're using, like Media Center is a 64-bit application, so it needs a 64-bit decoder. But Windows Media Player could run as 32-bit and more often does, and it can use a 32-bit decoder. So that's a good example of you had a program come over that worked great on XP. You decided to go to 64-bit version of Vista. It's working great in Windows Media Player, but doesn't work in Media Center. And that's one of the little growing
right.
pains of going from a 32-bit to a 64-bit platform. You know, some stuff can be 32, some stuff can't. It depends on where you're using it. And for most people, it's going to be a lot of trial and error.
But out of the box, the Microsoft One works, and that works quite well. And like I said, I've been quite happy with that.
Yeah, I've had no issues with it myself. I mean, I'm very happy with it.
Moving on, we've got HD DVD and Blu-ray coming, and we probably read quite a while ago on various blogs that there was some surprise before Vista was launched that you know, these formats weren't included in Vista. So what's the situation if you get a Blu-ray drive or a HD DVD drive, put it in your Media Center PC, you've got Vista, do you need some extra software to get that to be able to play movies?
this is kind of a timing situation. While Vista was being completed and getting ready to go on the shelf, HD and Blu-ray were also finishing up what their technical requirements were. So this is a case that Microsoft just couldn't add it in time because they were getting ready to put it on the shelf while HD and DVD were finishing up. So there's two parts to this puzzle. One is if we look back at DVD, Windows Media Player can play a DVD, so can Windows Media Center. One of those things that it has to be able to do is handle what that format requires. So, for instance, DVDs have menus, certain way to navigate menus. That's something your player needs to be able to know. Now, with HD DVD and Blu-ray finalizing so close to Vista's launch, Windows Media Player and Media Center don't even know how to handle the menus and the extra features. So in the case of HD DVD and Blu-ray, you're going to need a separate player for it to work. Right now, I believe the only one currently shipping is Power DVD Ultra. Media Center is smart enough to know that you did put an HD or Blu into the drive. Power DVD is now the player running, and Windows Media Center actually exits itself automatically. But you're not in Media Center anymore. And that's a case where Vista just happened to be finishing at the same time this new video format came out, and there was just no time to integrate them.
Right. So let's see. So this is slightly different to the XP issue where you needed the decoder, and then the sort of Media Center knew what to do if the decoder was installed. This actually needs the software to handle the menus and the interactivity because, like you said, it was finalized at the same time as Vista. So you're not just loading the decoder in the background to do the work. You're actually loading a UI for the DVD player or the DVDs as well.
Well, yeah, because by the time when Media Center came out, Windows Media Player and itself actually could handle putting in a DVD, navigating the menus, the stuff that's required to play a DVD. Whereas in the case of HD DVD and Blu-ray, Windows doesn't know how to handle that, so you need a separate player, which does, which is where like a Power DVD Ultra comes in. WinDVD, I believe, is also coming out with an HD extension. I don't know if it's shipping yet. And then Nero also is coming out with their own player. But Windows Media Center did have a little piece to it added for developers where you can tell it that you're the Blu-ray application. So if you put a Blu-ray disc in, you know, this application will launch. Media Center sees it and exits it itself. So, like, let's say you were watching live TV. You don't have the two programs running together. Those players work great with remote control. You don't have to get up from your seat, except to put the physical disc in. You don't have to grab a mouse. I mean, you still have your remote control. You have all the extra features. You're just not in Media Center
right
anymore.
And I guess then that future versions of Windows could see that at least the understanding of the menus built in, so that you could be back to the situation where you need a decoder but you still can watch it within Media Center.
I think it's safe to assume that at some point in the future, whether that's going to be tomorrow or 3 years from now, is up in the air. My preference would be some other features in Windows or Media Center itself, and let's hold off on HD and Blu-ray. Just because there's other things I would prefer what
right.
Media Center did. And there is a way to watch
yeah.
them. I mean, it's not a bad way. It is quite enjoyable. It's very high quality.
And have you seen that up and running in person yet? Because I think I saw it at CES, and it is pretty impressive.
Actually, I have an Xbox 360 HD DVD drive connected to my Vista machine running Power DVD Ultra, and it looks great.
Yeah, and just in the UK, the drives are coming out, but there's not a huge amount of content. But I noticed over when I was over at CES that you've got a lot more content out. And so if you go into a store, you can pick up the Blu-ray and the HD DVDs a lot easier than you can over here.
Yeah, pretty much every video store in the US has their own little high-def section
yeah.
now.
And I suppose I've been sort of soliciting everybody's opinion on it as we've been talking about this subject on previous shows. In your sort of personal opinion, do you think that this format war is going to go one way or the other, or do you think it's too early to decide?
I think it may end up just like what happened last time when we got into the whole VHS versus Beta. Most people don't know Beta still exists, and it's the most common broadcast tape format. If you go in any editing house, TV station, you're going to see tons of old beta decks. Now, they're not old beta decks from back in the day. I mean, there's been some updates to them, some changes, but they're all using beta format, where at home, everyone had the VHS tape. I think we're going to see the same thing. I mean, the fundamental difference between HD DVD and Blu-ray, besides cost, is how much the disc can hold. What you're going to see is industries that need a lot of removable drive space are probably going to adopt Blu-ray. So I think you'll see, like, if you look at the IT industry, who has really large backups of mail servers and file servers and databases, you're probably going to see Blu-ray more widely adopted there. Where the home user is all about cost. So you're probably going to see movies possibly be more HD DVD, but it really depends on how it goes. Like, if there's a dual player that can play either, at some point one may phase itself out, but it really doesn't matter because your player does both. So it's an interesting thing. So if you look at the raw technology of the different drive size, Blu-ray is going to be more popular broadcast and IT industry, where HD is probably going to be just fine for the home.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, you have the movie formats. So it really depends. I mean, there's not too many people making five-hour epic movies. Do you really need it to fit on a Blu-ray disc? I'm not sure yet. It's still a little early to tell. And then, I mean, right now, I mean, Blu-ray has a very rapid release of titles, where HD DVD is kind of slow and steady. So it's getting interesting.
And a lot of it comes down to marketing over technology, as you mentioned on the VHS sort of Betamax thing. That was a case of marketing, wasn't it? Really over a technological winner.
Well, it's really funny if you go back and look at why Beta lost it. Sony is doing the exact same thing again with Blu-ray. So if you go by, like, you know, if history repeats itself, Blu-ray is being set up to be the loser.
Yeah, it's interesting. You think they would learn from the Betamax
right.
days.
But this is one of those ones that's a little odd. Because of the difference in drive size or the amount you can store on a disc, the IT industry or early adopters, which tend to be IT users, are probably going to prefer Blu-ray. And even though Blu-ray costs more, no one's going to buy two. I mean, you have to be a very big movie lover to buy both. But when it comes down to, like, I have a terabyte of data to back up, you're probably going to use the format that needs three blanks versus five blanks.
But if you're a home movie watcher, you're going to choose whichever seems the most cost-effective, I guess.
Well, also, which one has your movies on it? I mean,
yeah.
Only the very, very major titles are being released in both. Otherwise, people are choosing one or the other.
Mm.
So it's going to depend on your personal movie watching and which... whose movies you tend to watch.
Yeah. And I guess the good thing about being in the PC side of the market is that, you know, you've got the flexibility. If you've got a Vista machine you built now and in 12 months' time you want to go Blu-ray, you can go Blu-ray. You stick the drive in and get the appropriate software that you need. If you go HDV, you can do that. If you decide to go both, you can do that as well. You're not really tied in the same way that some of the AV enthusiasts going for the hardware, the dedicated hardware devices are.
Well, actually, at this very second, you are. There is no player that can do both formats in the same computer. 6 months from now, that'll be different. So, but, like, if you were going to run out right now and buy both HD and Blu-ray, you're not going to put it in the same media center machine.
Right, that's interesting. Is that because of a software issue, or is that just like drivers and that kind of problem?
Combination of both. Well, the drivers know, because the drives will both be detected. It comes down to player. I believe CyberLink does have an update coming out which does do both formats in the same machine. And we have to keep going back to CyberLink, because as far as I know, they're the only ones with the shipping player. So this is a case of when you install their player, it can handle one or the other, and that's because of slight differences in the protection methods used, which they are working on resolving, which may also be why the other companies are not shipping it. They might be waiting for when they can do both, instead of having you installed and be like, well, why can't I do the other? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it just shows you really how the young market the other HD stuff is, really, isn't it? That we've been seem to be talking about it for a long while, but you know, the products are only just starting to get available.
I mean, this is a big change. A lot of, there's been a lot of stuff on DVD that they've been stuck having to keep because players are 10 years old. You know, old ones connected to the TV, and to be most universally usable, which gives the person making the movie the most money and the most potential for someone to buy it. There's a lot of stuff that they just couldn't change because it always had to be backwards compatible. Now with Blu-ray and HD coming out, it's a clean slate. They can start over, redesign it, and everyone has to agree. I mean, the industry has to agree with the broadcasters, with the audio formats, and it's a good chance to really sit down and say, we're starting over, what can we do?
Absolutely. I mean, the decoders are interesting, aren't they? Because they're kind of a fundamental part of Media Center and sort of for media access on a PC, but they're kind of a very much of a black box thing that's sort of tucked away and hidden in the background and has a bit of sort of mystery about it.
That's definitely a good way of looking at it.
Well, thanks for your time today. I hope we've cleared up some issues and some confusion on decoders. It's when I first started on Media Center, it was the thing that probably mystified me the most. Anyway,
it's a rather common occurrence. Depends on how much you did with your computer. Most people weren't trying to use it as a DVD player until they hooked it up to their TV.
Yeah, and I guess that things like having a decoder built into Vista is just going to simplify it as well, and perhaps make it reduce some of the mystery that surrounds the decoders. And, of course, until we get to the HD stuff, and then that opens up again.
It's always something new.
Well, really do appreciate you taking time out of early morning for you to come on the show.
Oh, no problem.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, that's it for this week. The email address is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Check out the forums and register on there. And you're in with the shout for the MC phone bundle. Don't forget your questions for Charlie Owen. Ask Charlie at thedigitallifestyle.com. I'll be back next week. We can play out with some music, and I'll see you on thedigitallifestyle.com. Bye.